So welcome to Neo Soulville with me, Tanya Dyson, here on WYXR 91.7 FM. And this morning, I am like extremely elated, you know, to be joined in the studio with this very special guest, Sir James Fauntleroy. Hey. I know, wait, oh, look, don't give me on the sound effect. I always joke. I was like, I'll just wait for somebody to take the air horns, but yeah, not in my repertoire because I use it just that much. So, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Welcome
for
to
me.
Not just welcome to Neo Soulville, but welcome to Memphis.
It's my first time.
Wow, is it?
Yeah, man, it's beautiful too.
Wow, yes, Memphis is a lovely, you know, a lovely place. And, you know, a little bit different, you know, of course, in your hometown, Inglewood.
Yep, that's California. Where I'm from. Yep, yes, it's Cali, exponentially California. Cleaner, I'll tell you that right.
than California?
It's cleaner than Beverly Hills, I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. But you know what? Interesting fact. You know, not that you need, you're probably going to forget and not know this once you leave. But Memphis actually was one of the first cities in the United States to actually have a clean commission. So City Beautiful Commission was one of the first in the country.
Wow.
So we actually, it's a very intentional thing in a sense. So,
wow, we need to start one of them in L.A.
Look, come on now.
They don't have it.
Come on now. Inglewood Clean Commission. The IC, the ick.
Yeah, exactly.
The ick. Get them out.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So let's talk about music, man. Look, we were, of course, playing a song. Look, let me tell y'all. So you know you have a huge repertoire when you walk into one of your songs and be like, what's that?
Yeah.
With fascination, like you discovered some new music. Like,
yeah, it was sounding
that
good.
That is your music.
Yeah, that was great. That
so,
was
you know, great. You have like a long list of, you know, folks that you've worked with. Of course, your first Grammy coming from someone that's right from this area as well, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, that's my first exposure to Memphis is Justin and some of the people in the band. Elliot, I don't know if y'all know about Elliot. Shout out to Elliot.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know Elliot.
I love him to death. I love both of them.
Look, it's so old school. It's like, again, it's generations upon generations, I feel, of Memphis music. And so it's like those names are always the ones that are called out. So, like I said, you know, talking about your repertoire and just all the different artists that you work with, all the different songs that you've made, what song made you realize that you made it?
My first single was No Air by Jordan Sparks and Chris Brown.
Okay.
And, you know, I didn't have any experience with radio songs. I knew it was cool. Like, it was cool to turn the radio on and hear my song, but I didn't have any reference for like what that meant to my life until this guy walked up to me at a studio and he was like, "You wrote No Air?" I was like, "Yeah." He said, "That's $1 million right there." And I was like, "Who is you?" Like, you know what I mean? I was like, "What's
got
up?"
Got my pocket to my face.
Yeah, you
like
know what
this.
I mean. I didn't even know, so I didn't even believe him. I didn't know what that meant until I got the money and I was like, oh, you know, this is pretty insane. So that's when I knew, that's when I felt like I maybe could, you know, have a career.
Yes. So the next question I had to ask is kind of tethered to that, and it may be the same answer for it, but is there a specific collab that you feel like changed the trajectory of your career?
There's a lot. I think all of them did, you know, all the notable names on there had a huge part to play and where I ended up or where I'm going. But I really think Rihanna's album Rated R made like just a gigantic change in the trajectory of my career, because I was the first major artist to like allow me to work on so much of the music on the album. And I think after that came out, it kind of just was a statement that was something that I could do, and that's what I wanted to do before that anyway, because when I was coming up, I noticed, this is in the days when we still could read the credits in your hands. I noticed that all my favorite albums had a small team of people working on it. It was always like, you know, I didn't know what everybody did per se at the time, but I knew it was three names.
Right.
So I was like, man, I got to do a whole, most of us in the business, I don't know if it's like this now, but you know, you're trying your best to just get one somewhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so a friend of mine was just telling me how crazy I sounded talking about I want to do people's whole albums when I first started. But, you know, that was the first person to really let me do that. And then speaking of Justin, I had been writing with him for about 6 or 7 years before the 2020 album came out.
Okay.
So he took it to another level of allowing me to be involved in the entire process. And I think just from there, that turned into my thing. I just work on people's albums now, which is awesome.
So again, I got to kind of touch back on this whole concept of working on entire albums. You know, it's not a foreign thought. You know, of mm-hmm. course, that, you know, our forefathers in music, mm-hmm. Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you're supposed to do it.
Exactly. You mm-hmm. know, and those were the best albums. So I guess speaking of that, who are some of the influences that, you know, that reflect in your music today? I know this is about to be a long, just long about to say, discography
what? List, right? But I think I can narrow it down somewhat. But, you know, I got Sade tattooed on my hand right here. Yes. So that's a big, big one. Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Probably even bigger. Prince. This jazz singer named Michael Franks. I talk about all. You know about, yes, look at what? What you know about Michael Franks?
Come on now.
What? Yo, come on now, for real. So those are some people. I say one influence that is not super easy to hear but really strong is Dave Hollister. If you don't know that, I'm a big Dave Hollister fan.
Yes.
And then there's a lot of I don't know if anybody will ever go through all my hundreds of songs to find this, but I've stolen so many Luther Vandross ad libs that these kids just don't know that's where it's coming
that's
from.
That's where it came from.
Yeah, bro.
But so they feel it though. It's when they get the urge to clean up.
Yeah.
They wonder why. It's like, why am I washing dishes right now? Listen to James Monroe. Oh my God, man. It's that Luther coming through.
The first Luther Vandross ad lib I stole was on Take You Down on the Chris Brown song. If you listen to it's the first verse before he goes into the B section, he does a little ad lib, and that is directly from a Luther Vandross song. And wow. None of them know that. Still, probably.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, wow, wow. So we talked about your inspirations. What was your introduction to music? Like, what was the moment?
It's I have a couple because, you know, I didn't grow up singing. I didn't grow up going to church. I didn't do none of the typical things that you're supposed to do. And so, although I did go to, I did develop my skills in church. I took myself to church once I started singing. And so from my perspective, really what happened was I got sick and I couldn't leave the house for months, because before I got into music, I really wanted to do art. I wanted to draw and do character design and animate and do all this kind of stuff. And then I got super sick. I couldn't do that for a long time. And then I thought maybe I could sing, but I've always been like, yes, I can do anything my whole life. So the year after I had this little health situation, I started high school. And these two guys were walking around asking everybody if they could sing, ironically, in art class. Wow. And when they asked me, I was like, hell yeah, I can sing. What you talking about? What you want to do? Never sang for nobody in my life. So then they put me on the stage. I was in the Temptations.
Right.
I did the slide out and say, every night on my knees.
Oh, no.
And then slid back in the line. But when I slid out, everybody, and I sang my little one line, all these everybody just jumped up and started screaming. All these girls were screaming. I came off the stage, about five or six girls ran up to me after that, and I was like, oh, this is what I do now. Decision made.
Look, there it is. Look,
so that's from my perspective. But I remember my great aunt, she told me this story, because I have little things throughout my life that were showing that I was into music. But she said I was like 3 or 4 years old and I was coloring, and I told her I had a secret. And she said, what's your secret? I said, I can sing.
Okay.
And she said, oh, you gonna sing something for me? And she said, I was like, nope, and went back to coloring my thing.
And like, then it was a secret.
Yeah, that's how I knew it was true, because I don't be singing for people. So I was like, dang, yeah, that's a real story. So
that is funny.
Somewhere inside my soul, I must have known something. But, you know, it was high school was when I first started.
Cool. So, of course, we know you from the music, but you're just really an overall Renaissance man when it comes to so many different things involved in art. So let's talk about this collaboration with Disney.
Oh, my God, man.
So how did that come about?
It's insane. that's called the Lord God.
Look, come on now.
Yeah, but, you know, because I started, well, first I found out you could get money making music, and I really wanted something real bad. And so I started working on all that,
right,
how I could get into that. And the art thing had just been a hobby since I realized that I wanted to sing. But I kept doing it for my whole life. So I've still been doing art. I've been 3D modeling for like a decade almost now.
Wow.
I still do animation stuff. I learned how to use all the Adobe Creative Cloud. So I do all this design stuff anyway, just for fun.
Right.
Maybe if I'm putting out a music thing, I make the cover or something, you know, just like I just like to do it.
Right.
And so one of my best friends, man, is this really renowned marketing genius named Darren Romanelli. And he's been doing marketing for Disney for like 20 years or something like that. But I wasn't, me and him were friends because we both love art and clothes and all these types of things. We became friends. But over the years, all my friends got to look at my art stuff because I'm like, hey, check this out. I'm like, you know, just constantly like showing everybody all the time. So I think like a year before that, I had made this, because I don't know if y'all know this at home, but on, you can upload 360 videos to YouTube. And so, yeah, I found that. A lot of people don't know that. You can put 360 videos on there. Like, if you got a 360 camera, you can put 3D videos on there. And they got 360 audio you can put on YouTube. And you can look at it. I'll show you after this. You can look at it on your phone. Because I show everybody. I told you. So I was, like, showing all my homies this 360 room I made. I put out a song with a 360 room video. I was just messing around with it because it was fun. And I think that from showing him so much of my art so many times over the years, when Disney approached him to find an artist, because that's a big part of his shtick, is he connects fine artists with corporate brands. So they came to him looking for a fine artist. And me and Disney were confused when he brought my name up. We both was like, what? What's the play? What's going on? But he told me that Disney was looking for a fine artist to help make a design for Mickey Mouse for Disney's 100th anniversary. And he asked him what the theme was for when he goes to talk to the artist about it, and they said platinum. And he was like, oh, well, you got to do James Fowler, or he's the most platinum guy I ever met.
Look, indeed.
And they were like, what? Who is that? And so from that point on, we ended up figuring it out. We worked on the design for months. It was amazing experience. It was my literal dream come true after I had did my whole career, because I always wanted to do art. They made a 12-foot statue out of it that's at Disneyland in the entrance of downtown Disney. It went on a world tour. They made 100,000 toys, like a replica of it, which, another one of my dreams was to make a toy. So for my first big design job to be Disney and Mickey Mouse is really unbelievable.
Right. So, look, are we going to have to coin you Mr. Platinum? So
like that's right. Mr. Platinum, I'm Disney James. I don't mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm James Disney now.
Like, if we could figure out a new age revision of Midas, you know, everything you touch.
That's right. I like that.
Turns to platinum, not gold. You
know? I like that.
So, again, we've talked about music. We've talked about your art. So, let's talk about what brought you here to Memphis. So, the creation of the 1500 Soundland back home. Tell us about that and just the founding of it and the idea behind it.
Well, the idea is something that I always talked about with my friends, because everybody that gets lucky enough to get into the music business for real has the same really bad experience.
Yeah.
And so we all see, everybody, y'all done all seen the Temptations movie. You know what I mean? You done all seen the Jackson 5.
Yes.
Even the 5 Heartbeats ain't even real. And, and they was going through it. So.
Right. Or all of the unsung.
Yeah,
right.
literally. It's just a wild environment to navigate.
Yeah.
And so I would always be talking about what happened was, it was somebody that was doing some bad business around me. And I've always, that's one thing about how I've been able to make it this far in the music business for me, is because I came from the real hood. So like when I got into the music business, I was like, these dudes are not, I'm not scared of these dudes. You know what I'm saying? I've been through some real things. And so it was this guy who nobody ever had like said anything to this guy. And people usually don't say anything to these people, but I say especially at that age, I was saying everything to everybody.
Right.
So I walked up to that dude and said, why do you think this is cool? Why do you think this is a thing that is cool to do? Like, you know, people can hurt you. You know, so I was like, there's a lot of things
messing
that
up their
I
want to
know
here.
What your mind is going through that you think this is cool to do.
Wow.
And he answered the question too, because he was a little scared too when I was saying all these things, because they knew some things about me from when I, because this was my first kind of, you know, one of my first environments I was in.
Right.
And he told me, this is how it's done. This is how it happened to me. This is how it happened to the people before me.
Right.
This is just how it's done. And so I remember, I just said cool and, you know, left. But I remember thinking that doesn't make any sense. You're a grown man.
Right.
This is a personal decision that you're making. And so I always said to myself and to my friends, when I get in that position, I'm going to change it. I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to be like that because I'm making a decision right now.
Right.
And so over the years, that turned into me like wanting to do more and more speaking engagements and events and whatever.
Okay.
Eventually, I started doing like a live songwriting seminar where I would like talk about how to write a song. I had a live band. I would like go through the process of working on the music with them. And then I would write the song live in front of an audience. We did it like probably 15 times over the years. And that was kind of the basis of the curriculum. So it was really about, because I've had so much success, because I'm from a, you know, a low socioeconomic background, I'm like, man, it just really was pulling me to try to not stop people from going through it, because that's inevitable, but just give them a better path. Like, if I could skip you past these 5 years of me having to fumble around to figure all this out, then it's still gonna be hard for you, but how much farther can you go if I can get you past some of this unnecessary stuff I had to go through? So that was really a big thing. That's pretty much the core of where it started. So the other part of it was, there's a studio in Nashville called Blackbird. Love it. It's one of the best studios, maybe the best studio on earth, but it's one of the best studios on the planet. But next to it, they have an engineering school. Because the owner, Mr. McBride, who is so awesome, he's a G, he is an engineer, and so he wanted to train engineers to come into his space. And so I was like, wow, that's a brilliant idea. And I just added my spin in that I was like, these are the other skills that I think people should have to really have the best opportunity to have success. So that's pretty much everything.
Okay. And so with it, of course, the creation of Beat Garden, which is taking place tomorrow at Stax Music Academy. So definitely mark your calendars for that. That's tomorrow, 3 to 6 p.m. And you can go to the Stax website. Is that correct, Tim? Go to the Stax website to get more information on that as well. So let's talk about a little bit of what you'll be doing tomorrow with the kids.
All right. Well, all these things, the treachery and running around and the temptations and all these different things going on. There's a bunch of other things I noticed other than the bad parts of the music business. One thing I always noticed and felt, but for sure noticed, is when people are in the studio, everybody wants to touch the equipment. We done all felt it. And seen it. Maybe you even seen somebody say, hey, don't touch that, you know what I mean, because it's so strong. Everybody just wants to, you want to do it, especially you see somebody doing it,
right?
And so that was the basis, was like, how fun would it be if it was okay to touch the equipment? And so it was a little bit of that mixed in with speaking of animation. When I was in elementary school, this animation company came by, and it was one day. And so, speaking of that Disney thing, they came for one day. They had us draw like 40 frames or something like that,
right?
A week later, they came back, or a month later, they came back with a videotape with everybody's animations on it. And that really just changed my life. It just blew my mind that way. So I always thought about how powerful that one day of exposure was. And so I was like, man, if we could just get these, you know, kids or adults, because adults be wanting to touch everything too.
Right.
So we could just get people close to their career, right? You would have.
It's me. Like.
But you feel me, that one day of exposure could really change somebody's life. And so that's really what Beat Garden is about, is we want to give people just a day to come just play with the equipment that they wouldn't normally get to touch, in hopes that it'll have an impact on somebody.
Yes. So thank you so much. The sound effect buttons.
I love you.
Be like, thank you, Memphis. So, James Fonteroy, thank you so much for coming by the station. Welcome to Neo Soulville. We appreciate you. And again, y'all, Beat Garden tomorrow at Stax Music Academy. You can visit the Stax, is it Stax Museum?
Academy.org.
Okay, StaxMusicAcademy.org to get more information about the event and how you can register. And I'm not mistaken, it's free, right? Free for kids.
That's right.
So if you have, you know, we love the kids here on this show. Also, we love cats. Y'all missed it. We had a studio cat happening.
Cats are welcome
here
also. Cats love touching equipment, man. What?
Look.
Yeah.
She found like a whole computer over there and was sitting over it because it was warm. So
cats,
it was perfect. So definitely visit that website and bring your kids. Bring your kids out and, you know, bring them over there to James. And he's going to get them situated and taken care of. And, you know, maybe some of that greatness that Mr. Midas Everything yep, I touch turns to platinum.
Let's go, baby.
Yes, come
I think
on
that's
now.
My rap name now. Platinum Midas. Let's go.
Look, just if I can get a shout out on
I got
credit,
you. I
like,
got
shout
you.
Out to Tanya Dyson Memphis, you know, gave me the idea. Mm. So thank you so much for coming to the studio. Well,
and
yeah, welcome to Memphis, man. Yeah. Enjoy. So you are tuned in to Welcome to Neo Soulville, y'all. Here on WYXR 91.7 FM. If you've missed any of the interviews, you can definitely go and visit the website. Click on shows and archives, scroll down, click on Welcome to Neo Soulville, and you can go back and play this interview and so many others. And while you're on the website, go ahead and hit that donate button, because we are a nonprofit community station that's powered by listeners like you. So thank you so much for that. Wayne, you gonna take us out, man? Yeah. Awesome.
Hey, what?
Don't say no. Hey babe, can we be broke together? Can we make gold together? Answer my question, don't say no, 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 no. I wanna take you there, but are you ready? Girl, let me tell you about my beginnings, because it's something you should know, no, 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 no. It's that no man is an island. It's that my soul feels like dry land, and I need you to storm. Girl, I need you, come and keep my body warm. I want you to storm. I can feel you flowing, show no signs of slowing down. Storm, girl, I need you to rain, it keeps me going. Storm, temperature below the norm, that's why I need you to go forever. Can we hit the coast together? Tell all the people they should know, Ooh, baby, no, there's nothing like this weather. Baby, never mind the shelter, because there's no way you can go, 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 go. Remember that no man is an island, and that means you too. Your soul feels like dry land to me sometimes. So storm, girl, I need ya, come and keep my body warm. I want you to storm, temperature below the norm, that's why I need ya to storm, girl, I need ya, storm, girl, I need ya. All rain down on me, babe.
Love does not change.
Oh, rain down. Oh, babe, storm. Oh, I need your rain, rain down on me. Storm, girl, I need you. Come and keep my body warm. I want you to storm. I can feel you flowing, show no signs of slowing down. Storm, girl, I need you to rain, it keeps me going.
Future. If you grab on my waist too long, might take you home. Don't think I won't make rain on you. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. If you didn't know then, now you know now. If you grab on my waist too long, might break you off. Grab on my